Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Tobacco Wars radio show with the host, Jim Rumford. Jim, thanks for calling. And I guess last week when we talked, we didn't think we'd be where we're at right now, right? This is kind of becoming ground zero in so many ways, but I keep rolling.
Well, you know, it caught us all off guard, and people are going home, working from home, and everything shut down, restaurants, bars, schools, colleges. So we're in for a different ride. But we will live through this, and we will get on the other side, and everything's going to be fine.
Exactly. So I think we'll be fine. 6 months, we'll be back to business. 3 months, we'll be through the scare. That's what I've talked to doctors about, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that's going to happen. I think people were hoping earlier, but as long as we follow the rules, we'll be back in business again in a lot of ways. We'll still be in business.
That's correct.
Keep it. Let's talk about our topic today, the deep state. You threw out this topic, so let's talk about what you define as the deep state.
Well, we all know what the deep state is today. The deep state is people that want to control the populace. The Democrats have had a good run at that. We have Trump, President Trump's come along. It's kind of said he's going to drain the swamp. But this started back in the late 1800s. This is nothing new. People are saying the deep state started like 30, 40 years ago. It really got entrenched 30 or 40 years ago. But the deep state started with the trust back in the late 1800s. I guess the guy who started first was the steel mill trust with Carnegie. He developed an industry, and it bloomed and became very prosperous and did very, very well. And then following his lead, there was, you know, many trusts, banking trusts, steel mill trusts, the tobacco trust, the railroad trust. So the guys that had the wherewithal, they were able to protect their money by putting things into a trust. And then what they did with that is they went and kept the prices low, wages low. Some wages were starvation wages. And if you wouldn't work back in those days, our good friends, the Pinkerton guys, and people know about the Pinkerton fellas, they would come into a strike, such as the railroad or the mining trust, and they would shoot victims to make the rest of the guys go back to work. So they killed a lot of people. So they were pretty brutal. Then the people who stood up against this, as we talked a little bit before, was the Knight Riders came into existence with the help of 650,000 people who participated in the tobacco wars. That went along pretty good. And they rode from 1902 to 1908. And they're the ones that stood up against the tycoons, such as James Buck Duke of the Tobacco Trust. And by standing up to them, brought in Teddy Roosevelt and brought in the Supreme Court, which then dissolved and put the trust out of business. On December 11th, 1911, John D. Rockefeller was called in front of the Supreme Court after their trial, and the Supreme Court said, "You must bust up your company, sell off your company in 6 months to do it." And that afternoon, Buck Duke came in, and they gave him the same orders: "You will dissolve your company and sell it off in 6 months." And so they did. And then, as we talked earlier, I mentioned the trip down to Jekyll Island. And that's where the guys, the bank, the money guys, got on a train in New York, went to Jekyll Island, and they formed, you know, what are we going to do about protecting our money? And they formed the IRS and the Fed. And that's the beginning of the real deep state. And this lay dormant for a while.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's just when you bring up deep state and that definition. So basically, after the whole war, the money people said, well, we have to figure out a way so that we continue to prosper even through whatever happens. And that's what led to the Federal Reserve in so many ways.
It's, you know, in February 1913, they developed the Federal Reserve. And that's where that came from. And then they worked with Congress, their friends in government. You know, you had big government was developed by big business. And that's where they got their way, and they got the Fed involved. and they control the money. They still control the money even today. Nothing's changed. Now things got, I'm sure things got a little rocky between 1913 to say 1920, 30, into the 40s. But at the end of World War II, probably during the Eisenhower administration, the deep state was well established and firmly connected to their bidding on controlling the populace or controlling the money. And they've been working at it very quietly ever since. And so when they say on the Trump campaign, drain the swamp, well, he's draining this, he's draining this swamp, but it's getting a little some people kind of bent out of shape. And different political fashions, especially the liberal left, are coming through and saying unfair, shouldn't be, this is wrong. Well, I think he's right on target. He knows exactly what he's doing. So from a political standpoint, I think our president's done a fabulous job. So now he is there looking at the deep state 125 years later, 130 years later, of what control they have on this country. And there's many books out there written on it.
Right.
So it's just a matter of picking up the books and reading through it. The story about Jekyll Island, that's a good-sized book. I'm trying to start to read it now. But all these books are pretty well good documentaries that explain what the deep state is. The trouble is most people don't read those books, but they're very, very informative.
Exactly. So defining the deep state in so many ways, you look at the Federal Reserve as a big part of it then. In your thoughts?
Yes.
Okay. And yeah, and that just continues to put us in more and more debt because of the Federal Reserve.
Well, it does, because they can print all the money they want. Then Nixon took us off the gold standard back in 74, I believe it was, 72, and started printing money. And of course, now we can print as much money as we want, but there'll be a time that that's going to run out and get us all in trouble. But we're still operating that way. I don't see the gold standard coming back. You can't pay your bills with gold. It just won't work. You can't carry that much gold around. So the deep state is alive and well.
Yeah, alive and well. And do you think it all started with the tycoons that wanted their money in so many ways?
Back in the late 1800s, that's when it all got started. And these guys were good. You know, you take John D. Rockefeller. He started with nothing and got into the oil business, and there's really no market for oil, but he created a market for oil. Then Henry Ford comes out with the automobile, to mass produce the automobile, and that helped drive oil prices up where he could make money. Even though gas was 10 cents a gallon, the volume of refined oil products was being developed, and so he did make a great industry. But then he created the trust, and the trust is illegal according to the Anti-Sherman Act, the Sherman Act, Antitrust Act of Sherman back in 1890. And so they looked at the trust and monopolies as being illegal. And so when Google, Facebook, and all the monopolies of today started, they just ignored that part of the law. Just went their merry way and got away with it.
Yeah, I mean, and so I just never thought of that. So in a lot of ways, what is your take on these tycoons, the Rockefellers, Duke? I know your thoughts on Duke and Carnegie for starting the Federal Reserve. You think it's helped America or hurt America? I'm sure the answer is hurt it.
I'm sure it has hurt it, but the details of it, I really can't speak fluently about that. I'd like to know more about it, but there's an awful lot of information out there that needs to be gathered. But we're not teaching things in school. History classes aren't going on like they used to. And all this information is there. If you take a look at, say, Bracken County, where the tobacco war started, that was in Bracken County, it's tremendous history. Then you come into Montgomery County, Ohio, with NCR, General Motors, Mead Paper, all the corporations that were here at one time, the history here in this county is phenomenal. And you go to most counties throughout the country, every county has fabulous history in it on the things that took place 100, even 200 years ago. But these history lessons should be taught. And to get all that history into a classroom, very, very difficult because there's so much there to talk about.
And they don't talk about the Federal Reserve at all, even when I went to school, into that detail, because you think about the Federal Reserve controls everything, right? If we're going to print all this money because of the coronavirus, and do you feel that President Trump's bailout is a good idea for America to bail out and send these checks out if it does pass?
Well, what he's doing is trying to free up money because this thing's shutting down the whole country. So you have many, many people that's going to be put out of jobs, and you're going to have many, many companies that's going to go under. So it's going to need, like we did in World War II, you're going to have a national emergency, which this is, to bring the country back after the virus cools off and goes away. Hopefully it goes away soon. But the federal government, as Alexander Hamilton said, from time to time, it's going to be necessary for the federal government to borrow money to support disasters such as what we're seeing right now.
Would you say this disaster is the biggest disaster you've been in your lifetime, or could you compare this compared to World War II or in stories and specific things? Yeah.
I think this is the first time we shut everything down. There's talk out there that they will shut the whole country down, but right now I was in a power plant yesterday on the Ohio River. They have half their people working from home. But if you go out throughout the automotive industry, the refinery business, the chemical business, anyone that can work from home has been sent home to work and do their job. Now they're still employed, they're still doing fine. But then you take, say, the hotels and the restaurants and bars and what have you, those folks, their only survival is going to be unemployment. And that's what Trump is putting out there. Unemployment, a flow of money to support the people that can't support themselves right now. And then look at the schools. The schools are going into
the cyber
school. Being shut down.
And they're not shut down. And that's the other fair thing that we have this conversation. The teachers are still working and they are sending them the work home, but they're not instructing. And hopefully they figured this out at one point in time, but they had no plan for this type of situation. So this is the weirdest part of it. So by having all the kids at home, for parents that both work, or one of them works and the other one doesn't, but works from home, the challenges that are going on in our country in the inside of staying home is something that is unbelievable as well. But I guess that's a great comparison to World War II to today, what's happening, except shutting everything down. They didn't shut everything down during World War II, did they?
They did not. In World War II, my family came from Bracken County, Kentucky. A lot of the aunts and uncles would go to one of the cities and go to work and, you know, live in the city. And many of the relatives would stay in the country, tend to the farms. And so the means of buying things then was coupons. You'd have a ration coupons. You'd have a gasoline coupon, a tire coupon. You'd have a sugar coupon to buy sugar, to buy flour. So you had all these different coupons. And so the city folks would take their coupons they didn't need, what the farmers did need. They would swap out their coupons for their coupons. So it'd be a back and forth switch so that people could keep going throughout the war. The war effort was a massive thing. If you look back, when they were building planes at Ford, up in Detroit, they were putting out a B-17 bomber every minute, if you can imagine that. I think they built 80,000 planes, and that was a big undertaking. Thousands and thousands of Jeeps and tanks, and all that came from bringing the people together. We have a job to do, and we sure did it. So now we're back in the same plight now because we have a virus to contain. And so what are we going to do as a nation? We're going to get together and make this thing go away. We're going to make it work. So once the American people see the need, we sure do fill it.
But the American people have to stand up, unite like we did in World War II, correct? Regardless of our thought process.
That's correct. And if we want this country to continue and go on, we need everybody's help. And we can't do the bickering that's been going on for years between the Democrats and the Republicans and the left and the right. That's a big, big no-no. So, but all right. I think we'll be fine.
I hope we are fine. And you need to take care of yourself for sure. That's so important. And take care of all our families. And we have to be careful out there. And shutting all this down. Last point. Do you feel that we should have shut everything down?
It's hurt the country badly. But I really can't judge on that. They're saying the whole country should be shut down for at least 2 weeks to see if we can't get the virus out of here. Now, whether it's right or wrong, I'm not the one to judge that. But right now, we're pretty well shut down. I know I just saw an article down at the Key West. They shut down all hotels, all travel. Everything down there is shut down. So many things are being shut down in different vacation spots. But up here, we got, you know, I'm not sure what you have in your neighborhood, but we have no restaurants.
Oh,
no
bars, Ohio and no Pennsylvania school. Are exactly the same, but certain states are not the same. Mm-hmm. And this is where the history goes back to. My concern, and this is, again, we'll see if history, there are lots of small businesses that were shut down that are not really could contract the coronavirus, meaning they are, outside types of jobs. All shut down in Pennsylvania. It's all shut down in Ohio, but it's not all over the country. So this is where the government has to, even though we shouldn't always, has to figure out what's the fair thing to keep this country rolling. But if we have to shut it all down, that's fine. California is fully shut down. Ohio and Pennsylvania are close to shut down. I can't believe we're talking about this, but what kind of job that can't go online and can't have their employees online and completely shut down, how do they survive and who gets bailed out at the end of the day? But we have to figure that out.
Well, you got to have your power plants. You got to have your water departments, your wastewater. You have to have those things that have got to be kept going. You can't shut those guys down. Even though they're operating with very few, they're probably operating at half staff. Half the employees are home and half are working. So those things have to continue on. We are sitting here in our business, and we're still shipping product. People are still asking for help. And so that's our job to do that. But there's a lot of, like, for example, a lot of the restaurants, one guy, one landowner, a restaurant owner, he's suspending his rent from the restaurant owners. He's not taking rent checks. He's giving them back and saying, use this money to keep your business going. And that, so you're going to see a lot of that kind of stuff happen. There's a lot of generous people in America. We're the most generous country in the world. And we look out, I think, for each other.
All right. So it's, we can check. News. So to purchase your book now, go to thetobaccowars.com. You can check you out on all different social media as The Tobacco Wars, Jim Rumford on Twitter, and check out your Twitter account and all those different places. And I appreciate another great Tobacco Wars radio show, and we will talk soon. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Neil.
All right. All right, everyone. That was The Tobacco Wars radio show.